Welcome to CWH. Many of you that have received Jesus have a deep burden for your family and friends that do not yet believe in Him. We are blessed to be able to help you reach those dearest to you. Invite them to watch our broadcast and my dad, Pastor Salem's messages. We received a beautiful letter from a friend in Wisconsin that reads, "My wife and I just had our 10th year anniversary. I am still driving the school bus. It is such a blessing to drive the kids to school and take them home. I also just gave my second sermon at our small church where we discuss drawing closer to God through prayer, reading God's word, and going to church. I try to tell others about Jesus and hand out Bibles. I miss Pastor Salem. He was a great man, and I enjoyed listening to him on television. CWH has blessed my wife and me." We hope you will be encouraged by today's sermon, "Do You Have Moral Insanity?" where Dad reveals four lessons we can learn from a fool. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I say it every time, I guess, but we're so always happy when the weekend comes and we can gather together and worship the Lord all over the world. And I just always think, oh, I'm going to see so many of these people. I'm going to see all of you in heaven if you take Jesus. But you've got to have Jesus. You can't just know about Him. You have to have Him in your heart. So stay with us, and we're going to talk about that wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And my sermon is about four lessons from a fool. And we know he was a fool because Jesus called him that. And so let's see what they are, because I sure wouldn't want them one of those lessons hung on me. So we'll just look at that in just a few minutes. We're reading from Psalm 63 in the opening verses. O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. And Lord, Lord, that's what we're doing. We're coming to worship Your name, to praise Your name, to exalt Your name, and to draw strength from Your name. May Your blessing rest upon us, and may Jesus be satisfied. In His name we pray, amen. And to start us out, Barb's going to sing a song that I know you'll like, talking about thinking about home. So God bless you, Barb.
I said to the old man as he sat down on the park bench all alone, with silver hair and wrinkled brow, eyes gleaming, smile, said, "Just thinking about my home." I sat down and we shared some laughs together, and the cinema of remembrance, it did grow. We talked about life's games and its losses. Mostly, he just talked about his home. And he said, thinking about home. And I said, "Old man, where's your home and what's it like? He said, ain't nothing around here can compare. You see, a king had it built and gave the deed to me. And all my family's already there. And he said, I'm thinking about home, thinking about going home, dreaming about leaving here, ready to be. But until then, I'll be thinking about home. And it won't be long before the sun goes down and I'll be gone. Ooh, I'll be thinking about home. About home. Ooh, thinking about home.
Well, thank you, Barb, and I know that multitudes of people all over the world were thinking about home, thinking about heaven. Jesus talked about that heaven, and he says, I go to be prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Thomas is saying, well, I want to go to heaven too, but I don't have a road map. How do I get to heaven? And Jesus says, I'll tell you how to get to heaven, Thomas. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The way to God, the way to heaven is a person, Jesus. And he loves you, and he wants you to come to him. He went to the cross, and he died on the cross. And when he died on that cross, he could see your face, and he wanted you to come to him. And he'll come to you and he'll knock at your heart's door, but you have to open that door. You have to ask him in. And you just say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And just please come into my heart and take away my sins. I'll turn from them the best I can and thank you, Jesus. And you're a child of God. If you say that, you're born again. You're born from above. You're a part of the body of Christ. You're baptized by the Holy Spirit. Why? There's so many things happen. Make your head swim. We don't know all that happens, but we know that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we're going to heaven. And that's what we want. We want to do a lot of things on the Christian Worship Hour. We want to honor God, and we want to help the saints and comfort God's people. But the main thing is we want you to come to Jesus. That's all there is to it. Well, we have so many nice letters. Thank you for writing. We try to read all the letters, and I'm sure we do. We, in the office there, we get the letters, and if you have questions, we try to answer them. And then we share some of them on our services. And so here's one from Claremont, New Hampshire. And this says, I've been a missionary to 40 islands of the Caribbean. I have seen a lot of poverty and despair, but people keep worshiping the Lord in any circumstance. I preached on street meetings, church meetings. I sold a lot of Christmas tapes. I didn't get rich, but I paid my bills. Evangelist Scott. When I read that, he says, I didn't get rich. And I thought of what Jesus said, but lay up for your treasures, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, in Matthew 6:20. And I'll bet you Evangelist Scott is a lot richer than he knows. And he's a lot richer than all of those who are outside of Christ, because all of their riches, we're going to talk about that today, they're going to vanish and you'll see them no more. But the riches in Christ, you'll have them when you enter that heavenly gate. Oh, it's the only way to travel, the only way to live. Baltimore, Maryland, I wish to pray I wish you to pray for me that I will keep my faith in the words of God. And we will, I tell you, if we'll just take the Bible and read the Bible and then believe what Jesus says, believe what God says. And when you do that, you'll have the faith. Now, you may not have faith to move mountains, but if you've got faith as tiny as a mustard seed, and you know how big a mustard seed is? Well, I used to be able to look at them, but I can't see them anymore. They're so little. And he says, if you got just one speck of faith, and he says, but I don't have any faith. Oh, now listen, let me tell you something. God says he's dealt to every man a measure of faith. Everybody has the faith. If they want to believe, they can believe. I had an old fellow tell me one time, I want to believe, but I can't believe. So what am I going to do? And I didn't know what to do. I said, well, I guess we'll pray. And I prayed for the old guy. He died in his sin as far as I know. But God says, you can believe if you want to believe. You can believe your neighbor if you want to. You can believe your wife or your husband if you want to, or you cannot. It's up to you to decide. And he says, you need to put your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's all. Here's Caldwell, Kansas. Thank you for your continued ministry of bringing the wonderful message of peace and hope in Jesus Christ. Oh, here, look at this. My wife is in the last stages of Alzheimer's. My son suffered depression and took his life. Your ministry helps me to continue my faith, my life in peace and happiness. And here's this dear brother. With all of the sorrow and grief, he has that peace, the peace of God. The world can't give it to you, and the world can't take it from you. My peace I give unto you. He wants you to have peace and happiness. How can you be happy? You can be happy because you know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. You can be happy because you know that God is in charge, and the end result is going to be the glory of God and the joy of mankind forever. For all of mankind will put their faith in Jesus, but you have to have Jesus. Let's see, what do we got here? Watertown, South Dakota, our neighbors to the south, nice neighbors too. I prayed your prayer asking Jesus to come into my heart. It has changed my life. Now I try harder to follow him and his commandments best I can. And when I fail, I confess every Saturday before church. Thank you for the great word of God that has forever influenced my life for the betterment of my soul. Well, you know, that he's in the same predicament that all of us are. I've been in this situation for 87 years. And what's the prediction? What is the predicament? Well, the predicament is that I'm born again and I'm going to heaven. That's settled. But along the way, I sin. I have jealousy. I have envy. I'm not going to tell you all the things go through my mind. None of your business. I just tell the Lord that, see. But you confess them to Jesus, not to see if you're going to get into heaven, that's settled, but for fellowship. It's just like if you have an argument with your wife and you break that fellowship and you have to confess and tell her you're sorry. So, oh boy, that's hard to do. Well, write a note and give it to her. At least that's a start. Boy, that's tough, I know. I've done it. I've been through it all. Know all about it. But God tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he wrote this to Christians. Christians. 1 John's a book to the Christians. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many times will he do that? Oh, maybe a million times, as many times as you need. My grace is sufficient for thee. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Aren't you glad for that? Indianola, Iowa. We praise and thank God for each of you and your wonderful program. Our faith is deepened and our walk is stronger due to the fact that you preach the truth of the Bible. God continue to bless each one of you and your program. And that's why this program is such a great success. It's because we preach the Bible. I tell these young pastors, if you want to be a success in the ministry, preach the Bible. You may not have the biggest church in town, but you'll be a success in God's sight. Preach the Bible. And we have a little Bible study we send out and we call the New Song. And we would like to send that to you. You just write to us. I'll give you the address at the close of the service. And it's about the Lord as being my friend. God is my friend. Jesus is my friend. And we'll send it to you free and postpaid. Let's see. Here's Evansville, Wyoming. Now, I like this too. Thank you for your service. It gives me an anchor for the week. All is well when I can share God's love with you folks. An anchor for the week. And what she's really doing, she's quoting the scripture. She's quoting Hebrews chapter 6, 19 and 20, where God tells us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And what God is telling us here is, we have an anchor, and that anchor is in Jesus. And that anchor isn't cast down through the water. It's cast up through the veil into heaven at the throne of God. And we are tied to the throne of God because that's where our anchor is. Isn't that beautiful? Look it up sometime. It just thrills your soul. I've got several sermons on that over the years. Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. Let me see, what is this? Garden City, Missouri. I am the caregiver for my husband and my mother-in-law. My daughter just texted me and wants me to know if cremation is wrong. One of her friends told her it would hinder us from getting into heaven. Please give us your guidance and thank you. Well, first I'd have tell her, what verse are you using where it says, if you get cremated, it's harder to get to heaven? She can go through the back Bible forwards and backwards for 100 times and she won't find a single verse. I can't find a single verse in the Bible where God says it's right or it's wrong to be cremated. And that means he leaves it up to us. Just because we're cremated and go back to the ashes doesn't mean a thing with God, because he's going to raise up. Why, listen, people have been burned to death for centuries. People have been eaten by wild animals, swallowed by the sharks, and all of these things. And that doesn't mean a diddle to God. He'll just, at that point of time, he'll raise us up from the dead. And if you get cremated, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. Just talk to your family and settle it in your mind. It's just all right with God so far as the Bible is concerned. And as far as raising, just tell him to get first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18, it goes like this. For the Lord himself is going to descend with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. All the Christians that have died are going to rise first, whether they're out in the ocean, whether they've been burned at the stake, doesn't matter. Who cares? God raises them up. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall be caught up with the Lord in the air together. We're going to bodily go into heaven with the God. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he says, comfort one another with these words. You bet. You want cremation? Go ahead. Nothing. No problem there that the Bible says, at least. One more letter. It's a very interesting letter. And that means these folks have been wondering about something. They said, I'd like the answer to what happened to all the people that were born and died before Jesus was born. Yes, he hadn't shed his blood. And so this is what happens. In the Old Testament, all through the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats was shed to cover our sins. Hebrews 10, verse 4. When Jesus, and so all from the days of Adam till the cross, when Jesus went on the cross, all of those sins are just covered. They're not washed away. When Jesus dies on the cross, he pays for our sins, the sins of all the Old Testament. That's why we don't have sacrifices anymore. All the Old Testament, all the New Testament, and as forever as long as we live, they're paid for before we ever committed, they're paid for. God has got that all figured out. And that's the wonderful thing, but you have to have Jesus. And you say, I don't know how to have Jesus. And I've told you a dozen times, and I'm going to tell you another time, you just talk to Jesus. And you just tell him you're a sinner, and he knows it. He wants to confess it. And just ask him to come into your heart. Promise to forsake your sins. Don't live the same old skunky way. Get to make some move. You'll never be perfect, but make a move toward the right and doing the right. And then thank him, and then go and rejoice. And then if you want to write to us, and if you want literature, we're glad to send that. And if you want to send us a gift, we have to have your help, just like we have to pay our way, just like anybody else. So you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. All of you on shortwave, I hope you can get that. And on regular radio, we're on many stations now in the United States and around the world on radio. And so we're trying to get the word out to all of you. And you write to us and says, yes, here, I'm going to help you in the work. Now, if you want the new song, it's a little Bible study. And as I say, this month, it's Jesus, My Friend. Oh, it's a beautiful little study. And people sometimes use it for Sunday school lessons. Prisoners use it in jail for their little Bible studies. We get studies all the time where people in prison are reading this little Bible study. And we'll send it to you free and postpaid. We have that wonderful film, The Heart of a Shepherd. And it's an hour-long film, and it tells how to accept Jesus. And you can just give it to people. You don't have to explain anything. And it tells the way of salvation, tells how I came to Jesus. I came to Jesus when I was 10 years old. And they can come to Jesus whether they're 10 or 100. Well, I got a letter just last week, I think 102 she was. Made me jealous of her. But it doesn't matter where you're at. But it's got to be in this life, the here and the now. Because after death, it's all settled. It's heaven or hell. And if it's Jesus, it's heaven. If it isn't Jesus, it's that place of torment. That's what Jesus said. I got to tell you, I got to be honest. So the heart of a shepherd. If you want to send a gift, you can send it on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And we got a gift from Norway not long ago, and just from different parts of the world. And you say, well, I want to help with the work, and I want to have do what God wants me to do. Well, what you do is you just ask God. God, do you think that this is a service that you're honoring? Is it honoring to you? Is it what you want? And then if he'll say, and then you say, and then he'll say, yes, I'm satisfied, I'm happy with it. They're trying, at least they're doing their best they can. And then you say, well, should I give? And he'll tell you whether to give. And we just live on God's people, that's all. No denomination, organization, nothing like that. Just God's people. So we're trusting you. And one last thing I want to say. I know what some of you are saying. I'd say it myself. If somebody on that television said, well, you can trust me with your money, I'd say, how can I trust you? You can trust us because we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit us every year, and they go through us like I drive you crazy. But they trust every penny, and that's the way we want it. And every penny you give is accounted for, and it's all to the glory of God the best way we can. So now we're going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you give as God leads you. And let me give that address one more time. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Dear Jesus, thank you for these gifts from your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Well, thank you, Jan. God bless you. We always enjoy your music. It just adds so much to the service, and just everybody is thrilled as God uses that music to touch hearts. Well, we're reading from Luke chapter 12 today, and so if you have your Bibles, some of you want to get your Bible and read that. Follow us along. Otherwise, you can trust that we're reading from the Bible. And it's Luke chapter 12, and we start with verse 16. And in this passage of Scripture, Jesus talks a man he called a fool. So we know he was a fool because Jesus said so. And there's a lot of reasons that he was, I guess, but I've just got time for four. Four reasons this man was a fool. And you kind of think and you say, well, let's see now. Is that in my life? How do I measure up there? See, and then people get convicted. And that's good because then you turn to Jesus. You see, you need help, and you go to Jesus. That's what I did. I saw I was a sinner 10 years old, and I went to Jesus, and he took care of that for all these 87 years. And not just that, forever and ever and ever and ever. I'll never see my sins. God says there's sins and iniquities. I remember no more. They're all washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Forget it, see. But you got to come to Jesus for that. Well, in this passage in verse 16, and in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Egypt. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns, build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And so this is a passage that Jesus gives, and we're going to look at it. But so we want to thank the Lord, first of all, that he's given us his inspired word. And dear God, we wouldn't know anything about you for sure. We know you're mighty and powerful and all that, but we wouldn't know what you pleased you and what didn't please you, and we wouldn't know anything about sin unless you explained it to us and told us about it. And so we thank you for the Bible, the Holy Bible, the precious word of God. And it tells us about how that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it tells us that those who have sinned can never enter heaven, not one speck, not one tiny speck. And then you tell them what to do about sin. And so Jesus came and shed his blood to pay for our sins. And third day, raised again. And our sins are washed away if we come to you. If we don't come to you, we die in our sins. And God have mercy on our soul. So today we're praying, Lord, I want to pray for the shut-ins. I want to pray for the weary and the lonely. I want to pray especially for those who are outside of Jesus. Those who maybe they've heard about you, Lord, and maybe they admire you and all of that, but they've never had a personal experience, never asked you into their heart. Oh, may they come. May just thousands come to you while we give the invitation. And the Holy Spirit will talk to each one separately. And they'll know, they'll just have that feeling. They won't hear a voice or something, Lord, but they'll just know, yes, I need to have Jesus. Lord, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Egypt. Many of them may be worshiping with us right now and in their shortwave radios. And we just thank you for them, Lord. And we just want them to know we pray for them and we love them. And we're going to see them in heaven and we're going to congratulate them because, Lord, they are an encouragement to us. I know they help me when I see what they go through, and I sure don't complain what I go through. And so they're a great illustration and a blessing to us all. Help them to know that. And so, Lord, now use this service. It's all yours, all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And before I sing, Melissa's going to sing, Blessed Be Your Name. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name. When the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Well, we can all say amen to that, Melissa, because that's what we're all about. That's why we got the Christian Worship Hour. Want to bless and honor the beautiful name of Jesus. Jesus, Son of God, second person of the Holy Trinity. Jesus is our God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he is so beautiful. Jesus is so wonderful. For 87 years, I've had that Jesus in my heart. And I'm going to tell you, he grows sweeter every day and every year. You can't imagine how wonderful he is. There, you know, there are some people that you like them so much, and when you get to know them, you can't stand them. Well, Jesus is just the opposite. The more you know him, the more you love him. And I tell people, if you don't love Jesus, it's just because you don't know him, because to know him is to love him. You can't help it, because he is so wonderful, and he is so perfect, and he loves me, and he loves you. And you say, well, I got a lot of sin. I'm a terrible sinner. I'm black as I can be. He loves you. He hates your sin, but he loves you. He paid for your sin on the cross, but it doesn't count unless you come to Jesus and apply the blood of the Lamb by faith, by just simply asking Jesus into your heart. Ask him to take away your sin. And if we confess our sins, he'll take them all away. I was 10 years old when I did that. Dear Brother Vernon Eggebrotten came and talked to preach that word. Now, I remember he had preached about the Good Samaritan. I'm going to preach about that in just a few minutes. Next week, we're going to have a talk about that Good Samaritan. And so you can just be sure that if you put your faith in Jesus, then you have this wonderful Savior. And I'm going to preach today about moral insanity. Do you have moral insanity? And I know right away the children are going to say, insanity, what does that mean? Do you have it? No, I hope I don't have it. But so look at Webster's dictionary, and it says extreme folly or unreasonableness. Or it can mean something utterly foolish or unreasonable. And so Jesus summed it up, and he made it a lot easier. He wasn't as fancy as my fancy. He says, it's the story of a fool. He says, this man is a fool. And I just read the scripture about him. I just want to look at this, how he closed it up. He says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth not up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Why did he call him a fool? Four things I want to point out. The first thing out, he was a fool because he worshiped himself instead of God. Now you say, oh, that you can't put that against me because I know there is a God. That's just fine. How much time do you give him? Now this man, he didn't worship God and he didn't give to God. And God was away off yonder in his small mind. He didn't really have a place in his heart for God. And so he had no time for God. He couldn't be bothered with God. He was too busy with himself and himself. He was too busy to read the Bible. He was too busy to go to church. He was to do anything spiritual. He was all wrapped up in himself. And I'm going to tell you, a man or a person that's wrapped up in themselves make an awful small package. When a person puts himself or herself above all, he, like the rich man, this man who was rich, he is a fool. They are foolish. They are fools. They cannot be anything else. Jesus outspells it as clear as a bell. They worship themselves. They don't worship God. God doesn't have any place in themselves unless they want to use profanity, maybe then. Harry A. Ironside was former pastor of the Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, and he writes, the happiest man is not the one who possesses the most, the man who gives the most, but the man who gives the most, the man who shares with others the good things what God has entrusted to him. We can get more happiness in dividing a dollar with somebody else than in spending it all on ourselves. But look at the man in our story today. This man wasn't thinking about his neighbor. He wasn't thinking about anything but himself. He said, I will build greater barns. I will bestow all my goods. Did you get that? All my goods. Everything was his. He was the one that earned them. He was the one that got them. And he was so proud of it. He gives himself all the credit, none to God. And friend of mine, as long as our attitude is like that of the rich fool, we're going to be numbered with that crowd. As long as we live only for ourselves and have nothing for anybody else, that we live in that little old world with our little old self, and that's where we're going to perish, and we're going to go into a Christless eternity. We fall into the same trap as this man when we considered everything we have and counted everything as ourselves. He worshiped himself. And never is God. The second reason this man was a fool is because he considered what was in his possession as his own. He thought he owned all of these things. Look at it in the story. He says, my fruits, my barns, my corn, my goods, my soul, my this, my that. My goodness sakes, what's the matter with this man? He is the center in a little world, and he's the center of the universe. And he is a self-made man. And he worships the Creator, his Creator, the thing he's created. And then while he's talking about this, comes like a crack of thunder in the middle of the night. A voice says unto him, God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall require of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? That must have been a quite of a jolt for this fellow. He was just talking about all of my things, and now, lo and behold, they aren't his at all. They never had been his. They'd just been what God had let him, trusted him with. God had let him hold them for a little while, but they never were his. He didn't own the store. He just worked in it. And so he is picked out as a fool. He's like the little boy. And he's doing his big brother sitting in the shade. And the little boy is mowing the lawn, and he's having an awful struggle with it. And his dad says, "How come you're doing that, son?" And he says it to his little boy. And his brother's sitting there smug as you please. And the little boy says, "Well, you see, my brother let me hold that 25 cents, that quarter, for a little while if I'd mow the lawn. And that's what I did. And that's what this fool did. He was holding something in his hand that wasn't his and could be taken at any minute. And he gave his soul for that. Look at him, how he brags. And so here he is. He has a big day. He's collected all of his buildings and everything. And then he has a big supper. He probably eats a half a roast of lamb, and I don't know what all he would drink. And he'd waddle off to his bed, and he'd have an expensive carpet bought in the bazaars in Damascus. You walk on him, then you'd be knee deep into your hips. There were such fancy carpets, and his beds would be fancy with Molly's helpers. Where would they sleep? God only knows. He stretches out, and he's going to sleep, and he's oh so happy. And he goes to sleep in the dark of the night. In the dark of the night, that's when it happens. Something happens. He hears a voice and he sees a form. Oh, God. He'd never thought of God except to take his name in vain. Can it be God? Maybe he had a sharp pain. Maybe he had a heart attack. Maybe he couldn't breathe. Maybe something stopped. His organs stopped. I don't know what it was, but it happened. And he hears this voice ringing through the night, the dark night, clear as a bell. Fool, tonight thy note might soul shall be required of thee. Then shall all these things be. And it's all over as quick as that. And a little later, he's looking into his coffin and people are saying, "My, don't he look good. It's all over and it's all done." The man in our story was a fool because he thought that what he held in his hand was his, and he isn't his at all. We ought to remember the words of St. Paul, who told young Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, verse 6, "He that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." And what the Solomon told us in Proverbs 27, 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You may not have a tomorrow. And that's why we urge you while we're preaching to you, pray right now to accept Jesus. You may not have a tomorrow. You may not have another hour. I don't know. All I know is it's going to come. This man was a fool because he thought what he held in his hand possessed was his possessions, and they didn't belong to him at all. He was just working in the store. That's all he was doing, handling his master's goods and claiming them for himself. And then he was a fool because he stuffed his body and starved his soul. He talks about bigger barns, and he talks about eating, and he talks about drinking, and he talks about making merry, but not a word about God, not a word about Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God himself, not a word about heaven, oh no, and hell, no, there would be no talking about that, and eternity, he doesn't even count on eternity. This man forgot the coming doom. This man forgot the power of God. This man forgot that he was a man and God was God. And this man was backward in his actions, and he stuffed his body and he starved his soul, and he lost, and he stuffed his body and left out God and lost his soul. So here is a man who never talks about God or the hereafter. He's all taken up with this world. He cares for his body and he starves his soul. And I talk with these people all the time, and they'll talk to you about sports, and they'll talk to you about weather, and they'll talk to you about politics. Aren't you sick of politics? And they'll talk about the other guy, but you mentioned the worth of God, and they split up. They calm themselves, and they just in a split second, they have nothing else to say. You know what a length of a split second is? It's the minute the light turns green and the guide behind you honks. That's a split second. And that's how long it takes to get into eternity, into heaven or into hell. And this poor rich man suffered spiritually. Today, people talk about vitamins. Why are they so worried about vitamins? I take, my doctor's got me taking on vitamins. And it's because I have something, deficiency in my health, and so I have to be fed, and I have to take these. The children of Israel, they have to be fed. And the children of Israel, they had a special feeding. They had manna from Israel. Came every day in the wilderness, and God fed them and took care of them. And so listen, today we have to feed that body to go, and we have to feed that spirit. We have to have something for the side of the spirit, the things of eternity, the things of God. He stuffed his body. He starved his soul. And where does he have for reading the Bible? Where does he have for prayer? Where does he have to looking to God? Where does he have to talking about God? And so the man is a fool. And finally, Jesus said he is a fool because he thought more about time than he did eternity. This man was all mixed up in regards to values. The world would call him, though, they would call him a genius. He was a genius because he had so little, but he was so clever and he was so ingenious. He was able to turn a few dollars into a fortune. And the world would call him a great success, and the world would call him a great genius. But you know what God called him? A fool. He was a fool because he could only see the here and the now. He couldn't see the hereafter. He was all taken up with the day. He had no place for tomorrow. He couldn't see beyond his nose. And all he had was the here and the now. He made no provision for the hereafter. He made no provision for what was going to happen. This man provides for this world's pilgrimage, but he makes no provision for the world to come, the journey that really counts. Because time is just a section of eternity, and you spend all your time in a little section of time, and you have all of eternity, and you neglect that. But that's where you're going to really spend time. There won't be time in eternity. Time is no more when you're in eternity. How do you figure that? You say, well, God will explain it to you when you get there, but you better take it as fact, and you better prepare for eternity. Prepare to meet your God, because you're going to meet him someday. You say, I don't have time for God, and I don't need God. I had a man like that when I first started out in the ministry. He says, I don't need God. I'm a self-made man. And he was a rancher north of Belfouche. And those ranchers were kind of self-made men. They couldn't run and get help when they needed help. They'd have to figure the situation out and work through it. And they were very independent people. And he had a lot of money, and he was a self-made man. But he's just like the man in our story. But he was a fool because he had gave all of his precious time on the things of this earth, the things that are transient, the thing that dies when he dies, the things that so quickly pass away, these things that have absolutely no lasting value, these things that quickly vanish away forever, because he made no provision for the future, life to the end. He was called a fool by God. He never thought of eternity. He only thought of the here and the now. He was a fool. We know he was, because God has said he was. I want to tell you something, my dear friend. There's another world out there beyond this one. And the world is composed of a heaven and a hell. And if you are going to be in one, and you're going to be in one of them, you're going to go into eternity. And when you get to be my age, 97, I've seen a lot of people pass on and go over that divide, go over that line, or go through that valley, whatever you want to call it, and they're face to face with God. And they're in eternity, and they're in heaven, or in their hell. Because it says, the Bible tells us after death, the judgment, that is, there's no changing. If you're going to make any changes now when you turn to God and become a child of God, it's got to be in this life and not the next life, because there's no changes. The judgment is all set when you die. And so this man, He's an outright, downright poor man, and he's lost, and he's lost for eternity. My friends, you may own half of this world, but if you've not made arrangement for your eternal soul, you're filling the shoes of a very foolish man. If all you see is the things of today, you're ignoring that other world, you're a fool first class. Whether you live a long life or a short life, it makes no difference. That's not the important thing, because long or short is going to come to an end. Long or short, we're going to step out of time and into eternity. And the big, big question is, where will you spend eternity? And you'll spend it with 70 years in our time here, maybe 70 years, maybe 97 like I got, but more or less, but you're going to spend eternity. You may have to answer that question at any moment. When any moment, this man wasn't ready. He wasn't planned for it at all. But God comes at any time, and he comes when he plans to come, not when you give him a date and say, well, I'll meet with you a week from tomorrow at 10 o'clock. He comes when he is good and willing, and no man stops death. And so you need to make it right on the right now. Does this give you a chill to think of this? It should. It ought to make you tremble unless you know Jesus. But the way out is simply just to come to Jesus and ask Jesus to come into your heart. And I know what some of you are saying. Oh, you're talking about hell. That's hate speech. I'm going to tell you, friends, that's love speech. In 1990, the doctor told me, you have cancer. And I took treatments, and God was merciful to me and set me free. But what if that doctor would have said, you're just fine, Pastor. Keep on the good works. And that cancer would have taken me years and years ago. When that doctor told me you've got cancer, that was not hate speech. That was love speech. When I tell you your soul is going to be in heaven or hell, that's love speech. I love your soul. I'd give anything I could for you. Because you choose. It isn't that God says you're going to be here and you're going to be here. That's not a true interpretation of the scripture, because God says whosoever will may come. When he says whosoever, that means everybody. But you have to come. I stand at the door and knock right now. God is saying to you, you need to come to Jesus. You need to confess your sins. You need to call on his name and be saved. Come now. Come now. And just pray. Pray as I pray, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Just pray it right now. And I ask you to come into my heart, take away my sins, and I'll turn from them the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You're saved. And I can pronounce that on the Word of God, because it's the Son of God and the Word of God. And if you make that decision, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Write to us if you accept the Lord, and we'll send you some literature. Or you can go to our website, Christian Worship Hour. We've got all the information there on accepting Jesus and other scriptures that you can get and devotions you can get. Check that out. It's worldwide for all of you that will come. And then you can stand by and you can help us with your gifts. And you just ask the Lord, give us the Lord lays on your heart. And remember, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's all taken care of. That's all checked. So you don't need to worry about that. And then if you want to, you can write for the new song. And we talk about Jesus, my friend. Or you can get the film, The Heart of a Shepherd. We're doing everything we can to help you to come to know Jesus and grow in grace. Now I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time we've had together. I thank you for everyone all over the world who's tuned in or watching or listening on radio. I just thank you for this wonderful salvation, because you died for the world. God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his son, and his son died for our sins. And I thank you, Lord, for those that come to you. Dear Jesus, we're praying for the shut-ins today. We're praying for those who are less, those who are weary, and those who are lonely, and those who are afraid. Help them to know that perfect love casteth out fear. As they trust in you, they'll be free from their from fears and sorrow. All sorrows will come, but joy will come with it. Lord, we pray for the young people, and so many of them struggling with drugs and other things. Help them to turn to you, that you love them and the children, the little children. They can love mother, they can love Jesus, and help them to love you. And we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're so glad that we could be with you, and I just hope that you'll, I hope that you'll avail yourself of the information we have on our Christian Worship Hour. And I hope that you'll just really read the Word of God, try to read the Gospel of John, and you'll find help and strength in that. And someday we're going to see all of you face to face, and I'm going to be in heaven, and I'm going to get to see you, every one of you. And well, won't we have a wonderful time talking about this wilderness journey and this wonderful Jesus who saw that we were in darkness and we were lost, and he put his arms around us and he took us and he brought him to himself. And help us to know that God loves us. No matter what we've done, he loves us and he wants us to come to him. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we've been at it for 40 years. And I tell you, I love you. And if I could speak for you, I'd have you all in heaven. But you have to do it. So do it. Don't be stubborn and don't put it off, because that's what the devil wants. Say, Jesus, you make that prayer and I'll see you in heaven. So God bless you. Love you all. See you next week, Lord willing.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.